Good morning. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church this morning. Glad that you are with us on this Valentine's Day. Guys, have you done anything for your Valentine? Just a little, you know, just trying to help you out. David, I know you haven't. Anyway. Glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you're a first-time visitor, especially, we are glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. If you may have been, but you may have come here a few times and have never kind of, you know, let us know who you are, there's a blue card that's in the seat in front of you. Would love for you to be able to fill that out and check the information that you want there. And there's a box there you can check if you would like to be on our email list. You know, I want to know every one of you. But it gets harder the larger we get. But I just want you to know that we love you. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. And I want to put it out in the email yesterday. Next week, I'm going to have another discovery class, which is basically a class that where we meet to just, if you want to have more information about the church, we get to know you, you get to know us. It's going to be next week, right after worship. We will meet down in the conference room down at the far end of our fellowship hall. I'll have you out no later than 2:30. We'll serve you lunch. We'll have child care for your kids. And if you're going to come and bring kids, just kind of let us know so that we can make sure we have plenty of child care. But we'd love for you to be a part of that. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read beginning in verse 1. Now, Jesus sets it up here in the first three verses, but these after in verse starting in verse 4, these will be the words of Christ. Verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You know, how dare Jesus? That he would actually speak with sinners. Jesus told them this parable. So the backdrop is the leaders of the church are thinking that Jesus is out of line by speaking and eating with sinners. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I'll tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And he goes on, verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Verse 11, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to, Holy Spirit, to not only come and be here, but to speak to us. Speak in power and authority. Stir our hearts, change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, the girls were really little. Jordan was probably 2 or 3. Kirby was 4 or 5. And we went with some friends out to the Abilene State Park. Anybody ever go camping out to the state park? We went out and several families went out and we piled the kids' bicycles and tricycles and all that stuff in the backs of our vehicles and tents, and we went out to the Abilene State Park, and we went way in the back where there's the park basically ends in the back, and we there was a big circle road back there where we were camping, and the adults were sitting around the fire and we were just talking and roasting marshmallows and having coffee and cocoa and all that kind of stuff, and just sitting around the fire enjoying each other. We blocked off this back road because there was really no through traffic. It was just the campers back there. And we blocked off this big stretch of road, and we got the kids' trikes and their bicycles, and we set them out there, and they're going to town back and forth, just having a ball. And so we're out there, and it gets time for them to come in. It's starting to get late, and so we all start calling in our kids to the camp, and we all get there, and no Jordan. And she was a knucklehead then, and she's a knucklehead now. I'm just telling you. And no Jordan. All the other kids were in. It was like, where's Jordan? Nobody knew where Jordan was, and she was about, as I said, she was about 2 or 3, and she had a little tricycle. Some of the older kids were already graduated to bikes, but she had a little tricycle. And so Mom and Dad, we panicked. Anybody ever lost their child in a mall or something like that? You know, I used to see the parents with the leashes and go, well, that's cruel. Now I'm like, I understand that, you know? She was nowhere to be found. So we began to panic, and we began to kind of look right there around the camp. No Jordan. Just could not find her. So I immediately hopped in my vehicle. Everybody scatters, starts looking for Jordan. I drove to the front gate, and I said, please do not let anybody out of the park without checking for a little girl. I showed them a picture of Jordan. And we're scattered everywhere. And finally, Cheryl came across Jordan. She was miles away from the area that we had blocked off where she was supposed to be riding her tricycle. And she had her head down, and she's just pedaling. As fast as she could, her head was just straight down, and there wasn't a care in the world, and she's just pedaling as fast as she can. And when Cheryl saw her and came running up to her, she looked up and saw her mom, and the tears came for both of them. She was lost as a goose. But she was just getting, she figured if I keep pedaling, I'm going to get back somewhere where I'm supposed to be. We continue our sermon series today, The Upside Down Kingdom. Today's message, the lost are found. Did you know that God specializes in lostness? I want us to just kind of dissect what God is telling us through these parables that Jesus is teaching. The first is, in the upside down kingdom, God is passionate about the lost. He is passionate about the lost. He is talking, he is trying to illustrate the love of the Father in three different ways. First, he has God as the shepherd and has the lost sheep. Does the shepherd not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Do you know that doesn't make much sense to us, does it? You would kind of think, I'm going to take care of these 99 because there's more value in the 99. But no, what Jesus is trying to teach us is that the love of God is more concerned about the lost one. It doesn't make sense to us. We would protect the flock that has more value. But God sees value in the lost sheep. And then he goes on to make an illustration of the love of God as this woman with the coins. And how you can just imagine, these 10 coins may have been all that she had in the world, and she loses one, and she totally disregards the others, and she begins to frantically search the house for this one coin. Now, I want to kind of make a point here for just a second. Now, in these two illustrations, the lostness, the sheep doesn't know it's lost. The coin doesn't know it's lost. It's just lost. There's no knowledge there. There's no disobedience there from the sheep or the coin. They're just lost, and yet God has a heart for them. Now, moving down to the parable that Jesus tells, this is probably my favorite parable that Christ tells us. We call it the prodigal son, the lost son. The son knows he's not lost. He actually rejects the father and goes off to his own ways. Did you know that whether we know we're lost or whether we intentionally reject the father is passionate about the lost? Do we know that? He is passionate. Whether you have rejected him or whether you just lost and don't know it. I tell people all the time that, when we come to Christ and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we should have the discernment of the Holy Spirit in us. So we should understand things differently than we did when we didn't have God. When people don't have God, when they have not received Christ and they have not received the Holy Spirit, lost people should act lost. I mean, that's because they don't know better. They don't understand the ways of God. But us, as we come into relationship with God, we understand the ways of God. So, it is the heart of God to be passionate about the lost. Now, listen to what Peter says. 2 Peter says it this way. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Did you know that it's the heart of God that everyone come to repentance and come into relationship with him? His heart is, he doesn't pick and choose like, he's in, he's out, she's good, she's not acceptable. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is that no one would perish. No one would be lost. Second thing, in God's upside down kingdom, God celebrates when the lost are found. Don't you love that? God is not only passionate about seeking the lost, but when the lost are found, he has a party. He wants to celebrate. In each one of these instances, whether it be as the shepherd or as the woman or as the father, there is a celebration at the end of the search for this lost person. Listen to these out of verse 5. When the shepherd finds this lost sheep, he puts it on his shoulders and goes home. He calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep." There's actual drawings. Have you seen the drawings? I think we used to have one around here somewhere where the sheep is on Jesus' shoulders. Have you seen drawings like that, paintings like that? And Jesus is walking with the sheep on his shoulder. That's where this comes from, is from this passage. And then the woman, when the woman finds the coin, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Now the sheep and the coin don't know they're lost, but there's still a celebration when they are found. And then finally, the father. The father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Now see, the robe is a sign of status. The ring is a sign of authority, and the sandals are a sign of family, because the servants typically in biblical times were many times they were barefoot, and the sandals were a sign of being restored to his family. So bring on the best robe, put on a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and let's kill it and celebrate. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I love that story, and y'all have heard me preach on this, on that passage before. What's really so interesting about the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, this son, you got the, and I didn't go on. If you want to read the rest of that chapter 15, it talks about how the older son responded. He was jealous. He was angry because the father was showing compassion to the son who had squandered his inheritance and done all of these things. Read the rest of that chapter and see if we might see ourselves in that a little bit in that story as well. But the son, he takes advantage of the father. He goes off. He squanders his inheritance. He finds himself in need. He ends up taking a job, feeding the pigs, and you've heard me say this before. It's okay. It's in the Bible. He finds himself covered in pig poop. I can just see the son. It's really not in the Bible. I don't think poop's in the Bible, so if you thought I was serious about that. But he says he comes to his senses, and he looks down, and he sees the pig stuff all over his hands. He longs to eat the pig food. He comes to his senses and he returns to his father. Now, notice when he returns to the father, he does not expect to be received back into the status he once held. He comes to the father as a humbled, repentant person, just wanting to be a hired hand. Just hire me on as one of your hired hands. But what does the father do? No, he receives him as his son. And I love the piece of this passage when it says that as the father sees the son in the distance returning to him, the father runs out to meet him. Can you see it? Can you see it? The father runs out to meet him. He doesn't wait and up on the front porch with his arms crossed like this. Okay, what do you got to say for yourself? Do we understand that's the heart of God for us? When we come to the Father, when we return to the Father, he runs out to meet us and he says, let's have a party. This son of mine, this daughter of mine that's been lost is now found. Let's celebrate. It's the heart of God. It's the heart of God for us. I remember when we found Jordan. It was a celebration. We did, you know, she was two or three. She really truly didn't know any better. She's just riding her tricycle, having a ball. But I remember we didn't scold her, we didn't ground her, we didn't spank her, we didn't do it. We just hugged her. We were just glad that she was found. We hugged her. God's heart is not condemnation for the lost. It's celebration for the found. Do we understand that? His heart is not condemnation for the lost, but love and compassion and celebration for the found. So this morning, if we're really honest with ourselves, we're all lost, aren't we? Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We may think, I've led a pretty good life. I hadn't sinned very much. I've done this and I've done that. You know, that doesn't get her done. Our goodness, that's why Jesus had to go to the cross, because he wanted to save and reconcile the lost. He loved us so much, for God so loved you that he gave his son. He has a heart for the lost. So this morning, if you'd just bow your head with me. I just really sense that there's some of us that feel like there's just no finding my way home. I've done too many things. I've dishonored the Father. Or perhaps we just don't feel worthy to receive. Well, I remind you that in these parables, the sheep wasn't worthy, the coin wasn't worthy, the son wasn't worthy. Jesus is teaching us that he has a desire to find the lost, to restore the lost. So this morning, Father, we confess that we're all lost. That we need you. We thank you that you are, as we sang about earlier, you are a good, good Father. And that we are loved by you. You want to throw a feast and celebrate in our honor. Well, the world may tell us that the lost are somehow unworthy, that are worthless. But in your sight, we are precious. And you are seeking us out. Whether we know it or not, that you are seeking us out to restore us to yourself. Holy Spirit, move on us this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If our praise team will come up as we close this morning. You know, I just want you to know that, man, wherever we are this morning, that God loves us. He has a heart for the lost and the broken. Our altar rail is open this morning. If you would like to come forward, if you'd like for me to pray with you or visit with me, you can do that after church or during this last song. Let's stand as we close.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor holds.
My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Through the storm, He is Lord.
Through the storm, He is Lord.
God the Father would say, come to me, let's have a celebration. Let's have a party for what was lost in this family. Now go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Christ alone, cornerstone, we made strong in the same.